Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hailing from Grand Rapids, Michigan, they have proven time and again that they are one of the most electrifying live bands on the road today. They are Pop Evil.
Here I come, yeah! I'm ready!
Their June 18th show at the Truman has been postponed till this August, with a new date to be announced soon. But if we know our next guest, he's spending his downtime working on something cool. Please welcome Pop Evil bassist and friend of the show, Matt DeRito.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How are you doing? You laying low up in Indiana?
Man, laying low but staying busy. It's funny because I talked to you just about, you know, about a month ago, and I was in LA finishing up our new album and stuff, and putting some touches on that. And that was like just as all this stuff was like starting to pop off, man. Things were shutting down left and right in LA, and dude, what a weird time between then and now.
Yeah, it feels like another lifetime.
Yeah, it sure does, man. And it's scary there for a minute.
I'm glad. Well, I knew you'd get out. You weren't going to stay there. Did anybody stay in L.A.?
No. Everyone's like, we bumped our flights up and got stuff done so we could get out of there early. But it was kind of freaky for a minute. You know, I was thinking, well, you know, worst case scenario, I got this rental car. I'll just drive back to the Midwest, you know.
Yeah.
Not afraid to put some miles on. But yeah, happy to be out of there, dude. It's crazy, you know, like being in a city that size and, you know, being from the Midwest like we are. It's like,
well, you know, you don't want to be there.
Yeah, and people are just in general, people's lifestyles, they're not prepared for something like that. You know, so many people eat out every single day. They, you know, their entire lifestyle revolves around you know, everything around them.
Right.
They're not really able to self-sustain too much. So it was kind of scary to see, man. I feel bad for those people.
Of course, but they're also the ones that are the most dangerous. Those are the ones, like, you go, hey, you're going to go rabid quick because you're entitled, you're wealthy, you feel like you're better than a lot of other people, and you're unprepared. That means you're going to get scared and you're going to get ugly.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah, so
kind of funny, right?
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just talking about the, and then the second kind of freak is the Doomsday Prepper guys that you saw come out of the woodwork. It was like their prom, their coronation, triple birthday, extra Christmas, New Year's Eve. They were walking around. I saw a dog with goddamn Cordura vest on.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
See, I kind of ride that line a little bit too, of, you know, just everyday lifestyle, just kind of being a little bit prepared.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't say like I'm a prepper, but I say I'm prepared, you know, because
there is a difference.
One of your buddies needs help or something, you know, even outside of this whole virus thing, like if your neighbor or your buddy needs something extra, it's just good to have extra stuff on hand.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'm not like a huge social media guy, but I started posting these little like quarantine tool of the day things on my story where, you know, I just kind of put it out there like, hey, you know, today it's a generator and some cans of gas and, you know, or a freezer stocked with food or,
right.
or, you know, whatever it is. And, I don't know, just, I don't know, might help someone.
No, that's a difference.
That say, like,
I'm talking like, about.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe I should get that stuff.
Yeah. I'm talking about the guys who are literally, they strapped on their BDUs, put an AR on their back and went walking around at Walmart. Cause they just, it's what they've been waiting. Like they're dreaming of it going bad so they can shoot a looter, you know, their looter shooting is like their dream job. And so,
yeah,
you know, guys like you and I, like, you know, I've always made sure I have generators and I same thing as you. All my gas cans got filled, all the diesel equipment got filled to the top, everything got on lockdown. Then you went, okay, what have I got? Canned food here, non-perishable, fine. I certainly wasn't coveting toilet paper. You know, that's the one thing I was like, you know, out of everything you're going to need, toilet paper's not going to be it unless you've learned to eat it or it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
But that's the great example of people, man. They don't, they're so freaked out. And those are the guys that weird me out. When you're in such a panic, you fill your grocery cart filled with toilet paper, then I can clearly see your brain is in a different place, and I want to be away from you.
Yeah, you don't even know what you need.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's the panic. Those are the guys that scare me. And then secondarily, the dude with the AR-15s walking around Walmart. So I just I told you I texted you the other day. Listen, I'm staying on my own. I'm either riding a motorcycle, or we're out at Disgraceland doing the Red Ryder BB Gun Invitational.
Exactly, man. It's in a sense, it's kind of business as usual for a lot of us with, you know, the absence of work for a lot of us. It's just kind of like, oh, you know, I'm still doing the same stuff that I normally do.
Yeah, I just worry about people I love. I've got, you know, friends who are stuck in New York. Chuck and Celine, they've got two kids and they're there. And so I've been making sure I send them packages of sanitizer and gloves and masks and even toilet paper. He said, you know, he's a good guy and he's very smart. And they're fine, but, you know, we talked about, I go, man, there's mentally ill people out there and that have always been mentally ill, but this much pressure mm-hmm. can make a guy crack. Maybe he was close, but this is all it took to push somebody over the edge. I go, that's the guy you don't want to run into, Chuck. You just got to be aware, and he's smart. But I worry about these guys, you know? I worry about, you know, my other friends in New York that are older, like Lewis Black or Lampanelli or, you know, other friends that are, you know, my agent who's 86 years old. I worry about him. He's been hospitalized in and out. I worry about him getting sick. It's mostly that's what I've been concerned with. It's just people I know and love.
Of course, man. Well, you know, even that lifestyle in a city like that, like people aren't set up to be able to, you know, have supplies on hand, like as part of their daily lifestyle. Like they probably don't have space to have canned food. They probably don't have space for, you know, an extra right. freezer to pack food into on a regular basis, just to have it. So, you know,
a generator wouldn't even matter because where are you going to put it that you can run it?
Exactly. Yep.
No, it's yep. Here's what I did. You'd have laughed. And I'm sure you already knew this, but you have pepper spray, which pretty hardcore stuff like cops will carry, even in military. But there's a certain limit of that OC, that oleoresin capsicum, they can put in by law for use on a human. So if you jump to the bear spray, it gets 50% more.
Yeah.
And so I sent it's like a fire extinguisher. It's illegal to ship. So I've broken the law, but I put it in one of the boxes for my friend Chuck in New York. But it's not illegal to possess or have. So I was like, dude, you got to have something. I know you don't have a gun in New York. So here, you got to have this.
Yeah, good thinking, man.
Yeah.
Good thinking, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got to have something, right? I mean, you got to have some way just in case the world goes weird. I'm the last guy that, you know, you can steal whatever you want, but New York, I definitely wouldn't want to be sitting there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably, you know, the bigger cities like that are where it's going to get weird first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The people living day to day off of, you know, the local grocery stores and restaurants and things like that. And stuff's going to dry up. You know, at some point.
I have the least survivable ducks. You made me just think about if I had to shoot something to eat. And the other day, I go out to Disgraceland. I got those two ducks. And I'm looking for them like, oh, man, they always come running up from the pond. Always stiff-legged little gangsters. And so I'm like, hey, I don't see them. And I start walking around the edge over by this creek where it feeds. And I'm like, and I see some different color in the weeds. And I'm like, there they are. And I'm like, hey, and I'm walking on leaves and sticks. It's loud and there's no movement. I'm like, somebody killed my goddamn ducks. I'm like, son of a bitch. And I mean, I'm telling you, I got within 2 feet and I stomp on the ground. I go, hey, and that duck barely lifts his head up. And he's like, oh, it's you. I was like, Jesus Christ, how are you surviving out here, man? I could have walked over and picked that duck off the ground without him waking up.
That's funny, man.
Oh, Fox Food. He's just waiting for a raccoon to kill him. I'm like, you guys get in the goddamn water. Don't ever do this again. I'm over there yelling at him like, beat it. Crazy bastards.
Oh, man.
Are you,
they got cushy over there at Disgraceland.
Yeah, are you...
Those ducks know that they're going to be taken care of.
Yeah, are you kidding me? I built a new duck float the other day out of a dog igloo, a piece of polycarbonate bowling alley, and 6 pieces of 3-inch, 5-foot PVC pipe filled with... foam, capped off, glued up, and then with stainless steel hardware.
Oh, man, that's awesome. That's a project in half.
Yeah, well, that's all you do. Are you building guns?
I am, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's like the only thing I've got my hands in that's still declared essential right now. So I got to tell you what, man, these industrial parks are just booming right now. It's like, you know, the roads are dead. Yeah. Coming in the morning, but like as soon as I tuck into the industrial park, it's just, you know, packed.
So I thought the Cabot was out of Pennsylvania.
Yes. So our headquarters is out of Pennsylvania. We have a manufacturing facility in Indiana, which is cool. Just, you know, so close to Michigan, I just pop down here and, you know, stay for a couple weeks and machine stuff and do special projects. And right now I'm working with some cool stuff, some desert glass. I've got an interesting project I'm working on with that, which I don't know if you know what desert glass is or if your listeners know, but it's like when lightning strikes the desert and it turns the sand into little shards of glass. It's really hard to find like substantial sizes of it, but it's really cool. It's got like this interesting color to it. And it's pretty rad to work with.
Yeah, there's and then there's that Libyan desert glass. That it's
the stuff that glows under black light.
Yeah, I think so. It's impactites, or I think they call them.
Yeah,
yeah. There's all kinds of weird stuff like that. Thinking of that, I don't know what just triggered in my head. Have you worked with any of that? What do they call it? Lichtenstein or Lichten? Oh, it's where the high voltage where it burns through the wood, the fractal stuff, like lightning burns.
Yeah, actually, we did a gun like that. We did a gun to mimic that pattern. So actually, it started with a block of wood, right? Like a presentation case. So we took this, we did that, we ran the bolts of electricity through it and, you know, like had it burn its way through the wood.
Yeah.
And then we milled out a spot in the center of it for like a nice display piece for a gun,
nice.
Set it in there, and then continued the pattern onto the gun.
Excellent.
So it's all like one piece. Pretty cool, man.
And were you able to do, okay, so you guys then engraved it on in the metal, but I didn't know if you did wooden handles and used part of that wood as well.
No, yeah, we just did metal, you know, like engraved it into the metal and tried to have, you know, try to copy that whole
That's
pattern.
Amazing. That's amazing how creative you guys get. I mean, it really is. And these are high-end guns. I just saw that Montana was there, D was there. I just talked to D. He's out on his island in Belize, so he's okay.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome.
And how was he? I didn't even know. I've known Deed all these years. We've never talked about being shooters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's pretty cool. He hooked up with us like in the early days. You know, made a handful of guns for him. Did a little photo shoot with him and stuff. And he loved it. He's all about it.
I'm still thinking about that gun utilizing some of that Fordite.
Yes. Yeah, that Fordite stuff is so cool, man. And, like, you know, being a Michigan guy, like, all that Detroit history and that stuff is awesome.
Yeah. No, it's, and again, with this stuff, it blurs that line between art and a weapon. And it's hard to explain what you guys are doing. You certainly have some utilitarian high-end guns like that. But then it gets into another place where you're like, I don't know how much I would shoot it, but it's definitely all shootable.
Yeah, well, you know, the same thing comes with like with bikes too. I mean,
yeah.
You've seen some nice bikes out there, and you've got guys that build them to show them, and they trailer them everywhere. And then you got guys that build them and ride them.
Right,
you know? That's
right.
What it's meant for. And yeah, dude, nothing makes me cringe more than seeing like a beautiful bike that doesn't get rode ever.
That's sad.
You know, it's just sad, you know. It's almost like you can feel that thing's got a soul and it just wants to go out and just pummel the roads, and it can't.
Yeah, no, it really does, and it's like everybody said it, and you've heard it a million times. That musicians always feel like you'll look at a guitar that's not getting played in a collection somewhere, and you go, it makes the guitar sad. It was built to be played. It needs to be played.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and our guns are built to shoot. I've got some really nice ones that we've done. And you know what? If I mess it up, like if I scratch up the finish on it or something, like I'll go have it refinished. It doesn't matter.
No, that's it. And then same way with a bike. People get all weirded out. I'm like, just throw a rock at it right now, man. Be done with it. Like, get it over with and just go ride, goddammit.
Take all your pictures the first day that you have it.
Yeah.
So you've got that documented. You have pictures of when it was nice, and then go use it and have fun and enjoy it.
If you're just joining the show,
what's the point, man?
Matt Dorito is here with us from Pop Evil, the bass player, but he's also an incredible arms builder for Cabot Gun, C-A-B-O-T. Look it up yourself. And he builds his own motorcycles. He's, you're just an all-around real guy. I was going to tell you, because we joked around about it last time. I've been riding that Harley Livewire as well. Man, I know that you're an old-school analog when it comes to motorcycles, but you got to try this when you come into Kansas City. It is so much fun, and I finally figured out why I was enjoying it so much, beyond it being new and weird and so alien. Because there's no shifting on it, no gearing, and there's a couple of really great, hard, twisty, beautifully done roads up here, I realized going through that apex and the curve, you're never out of line. So there's no hard downshift, there's no wrong gearing. You're either holding or you're in it or you're off it. So you end up going so fast and it's holding the road so well, you're just, and I was like, man, why is this so much more fun and so much different than riding another kind of motorcycle? Not better, just different. And it's the fact that there's no clutch, there's no gearing, so you're constantly aware of other things. It literally removes that one thing out of your head and you're able to concentrate on everything else.
That's really cool. Now, when you let off the throttle, does it lurch?
It depends on how you set it up. You can set it up with zero brush regeneration. It'll go like a zero free roll. Or you can have it on hard sport where it'll boo, and you'll hear it go zzz, down, and it's rewinding up those brushes to put more juice into the battery. So you can set it to either have nothing or everything.
Wow.
And
yeah, that's pretty wild.
I took the traction control off the other day at a parking lot because I wanted to see what it was like. And man, this is what you got to try. I hit that throttle on that live wire, the Harley Davidson live wire. It's never moved forward an inch, and I looked down, and it was doing 70 miles an hour on the back tire. Instantly, it just went boom, and I'm like, ooh, let's be easy with that. Let's just let that one go a little bit. And it drew a black mark 30 feet dead. I mean, thick, wide, and dark.
Yeah.
It was.
Nothing but power, immediate power. Yeah. That's the scary thing about electricity is it has no, there's nothing there to hold it back. It just wants to go.
Yeah. So it's never going to replace the feeling and the other thing. It just isn't. But man, is it an interesting, weird, cool new thing to play with and to have. It could never be your only motorcycle, I don't think, but it's certainly super interesting. It's like having a Desert Eagle 50. You know what I mean? You're like, I don't know what I'm using this for, but it's pretty cool to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect analogy.
Yeah,
that thing's cool. I saw some videos of you on it, you know, after we talked about it last, and I thought, man, that thing's pretty sweet.
What do you want to do next? Like, I know you got guns and you're building motorcycles. You got anything that you haven't tried yet you want to try?
Yeah, I want to build a house, man.
Me too.
You know, and I know you kind of touch on this with like this Graceland, having your own land kind of like develop and change, like as you feel, you live with it a little bit, tweak it a little bit, you do different things. And I think that you probably have that same desire too, because everything that you touch becomes custom to you. You know? So that's really on the list of things right there. And up until this whole, you know, virus thing and you know, shows getting postponed and all that kind of stuff, I was looking at some property out here in, actually out here in Indiana, you know, some old farmland to kind of develop and turn into something of my own.
I've gone the full spectrum. I've gone like Maybe it should be concrete. Maybe it should be stone. Maybe it should be modern. Maybe it should be old style. Maybe there should be a bunker. Maybe there should be an underground shooting range. Maybe there's, you know, it literally has spanned every conceivable type of house, all these ideas. And I don't know how to narrow it down to the real thing I really should do.
It's so hard, man, because, like, you know, I can appreciate a lot of different styles, as can you, I'm sure. I mean, like, that's the reason we don't just have one motorcycle, right? It's not like a one-size-fits-all kind of a thing. It's, you know, you're almost better off starting with something and saying, well, like, how can I completely gut this and change it and modify it rather than starting from scratch? It's like the options are just too vast.
Yeah, that's what did Jesse say? He goes, man, get yourself a single-wide trailer, put it right there, sit there for 6 months, then you'll know what kind of house you want. It's like, it's probably true. I'm like, you crazy redneck?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and if it comes down to it, bury the trailer.
Listen,
bunker.
You think I'm not talking? Are you kidding me? There's no way I'm not going to have secret doors, passageways, some kind of a bunker of some sort. And not because I think the nuclear bomb's going up. Hell, I don't even want to live if there's a nuclear bomb. But I definitely want some kind of a secret panel to move so I can show my friends. It'll be the worst kept secret place in the history of secret places.
But it'll be fun.
Yes.
And it'll be yours.
Yes. Tell me you don't want to touch a panel and have the books move, and you're like, and now we go into this room.
Yeah, exactly, man. That kind of stuff is so cool.
Yes, yes. Anything hidden, weird, anything, any strange doorway, any odd shape like that, I've always been in love with the idea. And that goes all the way back to loving, like, watching the Munsters with the dog, the dragon that lived underneath the stairs, and they had the dungeon down there. I mean, you always love that stuff.
Yep.
All right, so... Amen. Listen, jump on a bike at some point, man. When the school's off and you still have some time, man, you can always come down here and crash at the house for a couple days, man. We've been real careful about the COVID thing. It's not that far. It's a few days.
Dude, I would love to. I know we talk about it a ton, and I've yet to make that happen, but it'll happen at some point for sure. I got to get down that way.
Are you riding every day?
No, actually, I don't have any of my bikes in Indiana with me, and even like today, it's thunderstorming. It's like, I don't know, it's been like 45 degrees out. It's which is fine. Like that's okay riding weather for me, but hasn't been ideal conditions, and I don't have a bike down here yet.
I hate that because that's the one thing that's really saved me is I've been, you know, I can go by myself. It's the perfect socially distant thing to do. 70 miles an hour, nobody around you.
Yeah, that's it. I tell you what, man, I literally dream about it every night. Like, I dream that I'm on motorcycles every night, every single night. You know, I can just feel riding season coming up, so.
Right, you know what? We're going to get that fixed. I got a trailer and I got an extra bike. I'll text you out after this.
Okay.
Because I'd feel terrible. That's just awful, man. You got to have something to ride.
Yeah, I'll get there. It's not a big deal.
See, me, I don't have, I'm not going to a job after this one, so it is super important that I have something to do.
Yeah, man. Yep. I feel you. You know, got to have those outlets.
Are you going to work right now, by the way?
Yeah, I'm in the shop right now. I'm tucked away in a little corner so I can talk to you.
Why but, you work before 8 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, man. When you know my schedule flips so much, it's like when I'm on the road. You know, I've got those super super late nights, and you know I'm usually going to sleep around 6 a.m. and here I'm showing up and working 6 to 6. So
you're a goddamn maniac. I love it.
Flip it around, man. I'm always busy with something. You know that.
Yeah.
It's a toss of the coin of what it's going to be on any particular month, day, week. You know, building something, working on something, doing something.
Well,
busy, man.
I know we moved your show at the Truman to August, so we'll get more into that as it gets closer. But is that what they're saying for you guys to get back in again, late July, early August?
Yeah, it's been really tough, man. You know, I haven't had a ton of word from our management or anything like that. You know, it was kind of like I felt like I was one of the last people to know that we were even postponing shows and stuff like that. I think they didn't want to get anyone freaked out. But it's, you know, I'm kind of curious to see how this goes down too, because not only do you have the bands that were on tour when all this happened and they had to like cancel their current tours, but you've got bands with upcoming tours like we do that are now being postponed. And it's like, at some point, this is going to break, and people will be able to go back out and put concerts back on.
Yeah.
And you're going to have months worth of tours that are all looking to get in at the same time.
Everybody. You should be booking them now, because there's not going to be anywhere to play. Every room is going to be taken.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the scary part about that, too, is a lot of people have been out of work. So, you know, I don't know what ticket sales are going to look like. I feel like the economic impact of this is going to last a lot longer than,
yes,
you know, the month or so that people are out.
Well, but I think they're going to come out like a shotgun, though, Matt. I do. I think people are pent up, and I think they're going to come out of their houses like a rocket.
Yeah. Oh, dude, guaranteed. People are going to be eager for stuff to do. But, you know, my thing is they might have to pick and choose a little bit.
Yeah.
If you get 10 shows a month that normally come through, you know, that number might, you know, increase, sure, by another 10, because there's so many people looking to get in, but people might have to really pick and choose what they want to go to and what they want to see. So
yeah, you're right.
You know, I'm not afraid of putting a little fire under our butts and, you know, like, yeah, saying, all right, we got to step it up a notch, man.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's it. We'll burn that bridge when we get to it.
That's right.
All right, listen, I didn't realize you were still at work, man. I'll let you go, but I'm going to send you a text in a little while. We'll see if we can't figure something out for that motorcycle.
Yeah, awesome, man. That sounds great, dude. Thanks, buddy.
You bet, brother. All right, stay right there, man. Hold on.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.